This is Stories of New Americans with Ron Clutho, featuring inspirational and fascinating personal stories of people from all corners of the globe who are now in St. Louis. We'll take a look at the U.S. through newcomers' eyes, get some insight into world history and cultures, and maybe learn something about ourselves. Stories of New Americans on News Talk STL.
Welcome back to Stories of New Americans, News Talk STL 101.9, 94.1. Tonight I have a guest from Albania, Miranda Gace. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yes.
Okay.
But here, everybody calls me Gace.
Gace, yeah, I figured. I wanted to make sure I got it right. So, thank you for joining us tonight. And I, as usual, I like to talk about the country and kind of set the scene for where the country is, a little bit about the background, and then we'll talk about your individual story. So I guess first, could you explain where Albania is on the map? What countries does it border, and where is it exactly in Europe?
Albania is located in Balkan, but very close with Italy.
Okay.
In front of Albania is Italy, and we have Adriatic Sea between us.
Okay.
On the north is Montenegro.
We've had a guest from there already. Uh-huh.
Yeah. The south is Greece.
Okay.
And the other part is Kosovo. Each one used to be Albania.
I want to talk about that later, too.
And the other part is Serbia.
Okay. So it's a lot of, different countries in close proximity. And throughout history, different groups have dominated and occupied and colonized. But let's start from the very beginning. I believe it was they called them the Illyrians, who were the original inhabitants. And I think they might have been one of the oldest groups, I guess, or populations in at least Eastern Europe, if not all of Europe. Is that right?
Yeah.
Illyrians?
Yes.
Where were they? Were they in what's Albania today?
Yes. And I'll say they were the oldest population in this part of Balkan.
Mm-hmm.
And the other oldest, tribe are Dardan. They are in the north of Albania, and we have Dardania area. Each one is connected with the Prince of Troy, Priam. He was a leader of Dardanian tribes.
Mm-hmm. Now, this would be like 2,000 years ago, three?
Yeah. And for this reason, I will go to Albanian famous writers, Ismail Kadare. He explained that Illyrian and Dardanian are connected, and they are old like Troy used to be, because in Albanian language, Troy means fatherland.
Mm.
And like he wrote, the people after Troya was destroyed, they moved from Troy to Albania, and there are some other idea, they were stable themselves in north of Albania, today's Shkodra.
Shkodra, that's the place name?
Yeah.
Okay. And, at different times, the Roman Empire, Byzantine Empire, Ottoman Empire came through. So they brought various religious traditions too, right? So Catholic or Orthodox and Islam. What is the religious component of Albania today?
In Albanian, it's mixed.
Okay.
And we are proud about that, because we live together in very good understanding to each other, respecting religion to each other's, And we have no complaint. Albanian Muslim can get married with Orthodox or Catholic girls. This divided because of religion doesn't exist to Albania. And I'll bring this example. When the Pope did the first visit in Europe, he picked Albania in respect of this flexibility or tolerance to the religion.
And I believe Mother Teresa is Albanian, right?
Mother Teresa was. is Albanian. Her name, before she's named Mother Teresa in respect to of Mother Teresa. Her name is Gonje Boyaji. That means Gonje is rose blooms. Mm-hmm. And Boyaji is the profession of painting the house.
Oh.
Yeah, is her last name.
Okay.
That shows her origin.
Yeah.
But when she was 13 years old, she moved for attending the Catholic school at Macedonia.
Okay.
And after that, she dedicated her life in India. For this reason, right, they called Mother Teresa of Calcutta.
Yes.
But she never, she always said her origin is Albanian.
Mm. She's proud of it. And Albania is, the Albanian language is also very unique, isn't it?
Yes. Albanian language is in the group of Indo-European languages, but is unique and doesn't have similar language, like Hungarian language or Greek language, too.
Mm-hmm. So it's not a Germanic language, not a Romance language,
no,
not a Slavic language.
And sometimes when people listen to me speaking with somebody else, they said, sounds like German, French. Hmm. Nobody can find what side, but it's unique.
Can you say a few things in your language just so we can hear what it sounds like?
For example, if I say school is close to Indo-European, the roots is škola, mm-hmm, school, škola.
How would you say, like, good evening? Or
good evening is mirm broma.
Okay.
And the long one, and people, foreign people, have hard time to say it, is mirupavshim, that is bye-bye.
Hmm, mirupavshim. And I think your language has the TH sound, which is it's not in many languages.
Yeah,
but
we have TH sounds, we have SH sound,
mm-hmm,
we have GJ sound.
Okay. Yeah, it is. It's a unique, I think it's a beautiful language. It's really different from any other language, isn't it?
Thank you. I think so.
Can you talk about Skenderbeg? Who would Skenderbeg? Why is he important in Albanian history?
Skenderbeg is our national hero. And he played an important role protecting the Christianism against the Muslimanism in Ottoman Empire.
Ottoman Empire, I think we'd say in English.
Okay, yeah, sorry. And because he was like a big protection in front of Europe, he were very famous in that time. And I would like to stop to your American famous writer, Longfellow. And he wrote a poem for Skenderbeg. It's a long poem.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, he fight the war and won, always.
Mm.
And also, a lot of historian pay huge attention about his history. He was a little kid, around 7 years old, when the Osman Perandori took him to educate him in Sultan.
Did they take him to Turkey then?
To Turkey, yes.
Okay.
Sultan is the king.
Yeah, the Sultan is the, yeah, I guess, the Turkish or Islamic,
yeah,
king.
They took him in Istanbul,
mm-hmm,
to educate him like a big fighter or commander for the Ottoman
Empire.
When he grown up, he never forgot his country. He missed his country, and he escaped with his nephew and some other soldiers, and he began and he built the war against the Ottoman Empire.
Which, I guess, ultimately led to Albanian independence, right?
For this period, because when he died, we were occupied for 500 yeah. years. But he was not just a talented fighter, if I say, but he was very diplomatic person. He had a very strong alliance with Vatican, Napoli. Mm. And for this reason, they gave him a lot of territory in Calabria. And now still are living Albanian who speaks Albanian, but in very old version of dialect.
This is in parts of Italy, Calabria.
Yes, okay. The south of Italy.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, let's move a little bit farther up to the 20th century now, which was also not an easy time for Albania because of the wars, World War I and World War II. But after World War II, Albania became a communist country under, I would say he's the dictator, Enver
yeah.
Hoxha.
Yes.
And I believe...
From 1944.
Yeah. Can you talk about life... I'm not saying you're that old, but I think life under Hoxha was particularly brutal, wasn't it?
Very. And in parenthesis, I'll tell you, I like to share with you that thing.
Okay.
When I came in here in United States, I had good support from my neighbors, and they became my friends, and now we are connected like family together. And I'm very thankful for having this kind of support from my neighbors. And one afternoon, we're sitting down with neighbors, and they asked me from each country, what was my country or the life over there. And I was talking with my neighbor. His name is Tom Darling. He's teacher in high school here. And when I was talking about how hard and poor was our life under the communism time, he said, Miranda, I will invite you one day to talk with my student.
Oh.
And they have to appreciate what kind of life they have
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
And that's true. Yes, I remember, and I lived 42 years under the communism.
Mm. But Albania was particularly brutal, I think, even comparing to other Eastern European countries, right?
Yes, because not from the beginning, but let's say in 1966, he decided to close churches, mosques, and everything. Like I said before, we have all the religions.
Mm-hmm.
And he was more aggressive with Catholic priests. He put in jail a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they lived around 20 years, or some of them, they died in the jails.
Mm-hmm.
And the jails for high level of security.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it was like nobody can read the Bible, no mention the Bible, because you can be in an education camp or labor camp
yeah.
or in jail. Everything was under his control. For example, we are in front of Italy. We like the people in middle of Albania are very connected, and north too, are very connected with Italian culture. North also with Italian culture. South, they are connected with Greek culture, food and everything. And we were not allowed to listen not Italian song or to speak Italian language.
Mm.
When he got the power, we were on a communism camp. It was all East Europe, also Soviet Union.
Yeah, so we would call that behind the Iron Curtain in this. That's how we referred to that during the Cold War. We need to take a short break here, though. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but let's take a break and we'll come back and continue this. You're listening to 101.9, 94.1 News Talk, STL.
Stories of New Americans.
Brought to you in part by Arnell's Hardwoods. For all of your laminate and hardwood flooring needs, call them at 314-397-3252.
Stories of New Americans.
Brought to you in part by the Indoor Comfort Team. For all of your heating and cooling needs, call the Indoor Comfort Team at 314-230-9542.
You're listening to Stories of New Americans on News Talk STL.
Welcome back to Stories of New Americans. I'm talking with Miranda Gace from Albania, and she was talking about how life was in Albania under President Hoxha after World War II. And you were talking about how he closed all the churches and mosques down in the 60s, did you say?
60s.
Okay.
Yes.
And then I believe he changed his alliance from the Soviet Union to China in, I guess, the 50s or the 60s, because he felt the Soviet Union wasn't communist enough, I think, right? Like, not enough true communism. He wanted something more pure, so he allied with the Chinese. And how did life change for the average Albanian after that?
Yeah. I'll say it was more worse then, because he tried to educate us with Chinese culture.
Okay.
For example, it was Mao Zedong.
Yes.
In China, and they have to read the books, Mao Zedong books.
The Little Red Book?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he began to pretend to force us to read his books. And he began to publish his books, lot of volumes of books. And we are forced to pay to buy these books, like it or not, to read these books.
Really?
And in this period, every Friday, I really hate this time because I was new mom with two kids. And Friday evening, I have to leave them with somebody to take care of them and to go for study Enver Hoxha's book every Friday, 4 till 5 p.m.
All the adults had to?
Yes.
Where would you go? Like to the city hall or school?
We were forced to go in the place where we worked. Like I was teacher in high school.
Yeah.
And one class was full of all teachers of the school reading these books. And also every morning, if the school began at 8 o'clock, 7:30, you have to be there, and everybody has to exercise outside, like in China.
Mm.
Also, my sister just get married in that time, and they are forcing them not to have a wedding ring, not to have wedding dress, and everything was like in China style.
So they not only imported Chinese communism, but Chinese culture.
Yeah, Chinese culture, yes. Forced us to imitate them, I'll say.
Wow.
And the poverty went high in this period, because when we were in a socialist camp, all Europe together is Europe still.
Yeah.
The culture is different.
Yeah.
But under China, everything was just one color. And still, if you speak a word against the government or something, unclear about government. They can send you in labor camp or jail. A lot of talented architects, poets, writers, they lost their license. That was not that big, but most of them, they were in the jail. For example, one of politicians today, he's my age, Fatos Lubonia, a poet, opinionist, and he spent the most beautiful part of his life in jail for 20 years, let's say. Max Vela, very talented architect, painter, he was in jail too.
Because they said something against the regime?
Think about liberal ideas, not against the regime. Do you know jeans pants were not allowed?
Blue jeans?
Yeah. Not to wear it in...
Yeah. What about, were you exposed to Western music, movies, books?
Like I said in the beginning, they stopped us to watch
Italian
channels. Each one was our favorite channel.
Yeah.
And also, if they learn about you are watching this channel, big trouble.
What about music? Was there only Albanian music and only communist music allowed?
Or? Only Albanian music, and every song has to be dedicated to
the revolution, Hoxha.
Just for country, patriotism songs. That is not wrong. Still, those are nice songs too. But no lyrics songs like songs.
So you didn't have exposure to, say, the Beatles or ABBA or some groups like...
All.
Okay. Wow. Well, then, he died in 85, right?
Yes.
And then the new leader, Ramiz Aliyev, did things get better under him? This was still under communism, but maybe...
No, the poverty was huge in this period because... Enver Hoxha isolated our country. After he broke relationship with China, we were isolated.
When did he do that and why?
I'm not sure, but around 70s. And he bring this idea, we can live by ourselves. We don't need to...
Kind of sounds like North Korea, doesn't
it? Exactly. And in this period... Everything was count for us. For example, food. We went to the store to get just 100 grams butter for all week.
Yeah, we call that rationing.
Mm-hmm. 7 eggs for all weeks.
For the
chicken for all weeks. For family.
For the family.
Yeah. And this was in that time. And also, Ramiz Aliyev decided to do something different, and they make the farmers to be the poorest part of Albania because they took from them all everything. And for this reason, the poverty went terrible step by step. And when Ramiz Aliyev was more liberal because he has not that power, but the poverty and everything, we began to listen more music, or people had the open mind to dream for other countries and stuff like that, but still was very difficult life.
You were not able to travel outside of the country, I guess, were you?
Just the people who had permission from the government.
Mm-hmm.
For example, for experience, to study for, but they were very few numbers.
Yeah.
You have to be connected with people on the top of the government to get this privilege.
Right. And then in the 90s, just like the rest of Eastern Europe, I think Albania finally got rid of the communist.
Yes. After Romania, in Albania began the movement against the communism.
Wow. That must have been such a shock to the system.
I'm very thankful for the student in Albania. they were in front of this movement.
Mm.
They were in the strike, and for many days they didn't eat. Hunger strike.
Wow.
And after that, Ramiz Aliyah decided to talk to them, to tolerate and to give them option, and democracy began to Albania.
That would never have happened under Hoxha, I bet.
I think so.
Okay, so then when did the regime finally change? When did communism finally end? Or when was there, free elections? 92?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We ruled the communism.
Yeah, you were able to actually have a free election then, I guess.
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's.
It was March 22.
You remember the date, wow.
And because it's connected with the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And was the spring for us.
Okay.
Yeah, March 22 is the...
Oh, I think it's the first day of spring, yeah.
Yeah. And is connected to the spring, I never forget.
Okay. What was the atmosphere like in the country on that day when you were able to finally vote?
The propaganda was, or let's say the publicity, not propaganda, it was huge. Albania, for first time, won the pluralism before 1982. 1981 began the pluralism, and were like Democratic Party, Republican Party, some small parties too, and they began free press.
Wow.
That was a big success too. And the first newspaper, each one was like, everybody was reading, like being thirsty.
Yes.
To read the free speech.
Yes.
Was reading Kohayon, a newspaper.
Okay.
And I like to mention two names. They were young guys. Nicole Lesi, Alexander Frangai, they still are journalists, famous journalists in Albania. But they were around 22, 24 years old when in one small room like this one, they began to publish newspaper Kohayon.
Mm-hmm.
Each one was delivering all over in Albania.
This was when it was dangerous to do that, I guess, right?
No, not because it was the tolerance about pluralism.
Okay. Okay. But that was still a big thing to do.
It was a big step.
Yeah. Yeah.
To reach the democracy.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about your story now. I want to make sure we have time to talk about that. Where in Albania were you born and where did you grow up?
In Tirana.
Which is the capital.
Capital.
How was that? How was your childhood? Did your parents try to shield you from the realities of life as much as they could?
No, when we were young, we were under the socialism camp and was not that bad.
Oh.
And the life was saved. But when the things began to change, I'm Orthodox, and my mom used to do eggs for Easter, red ones.
Okay.
And when the communism began aggressive, nobody can talk about Easter, no to show the eggs. We dyed the eggs, and they began to tell us, don't speak outside, not with your friends, and shut your mouth for everything.
Mm.
Yeah. And also, we are very poor. For example, we ate something in the morning and we had to eat just when we went back home. No something for snack or something between those things.
Mm-hmm.
Also missing everything, clothes and what I can say, poor country.
Did your father have some type of profession or what kind of work did he do?
Yes, my father was a technician and... But the life was very modest.
Yeah. Do you remember what you learned in school, I guess elementary and high school? I'm curious to know how they taught you about the United States, for example.
I will say the schools were pretty good.
Okay.
They were influenced under Soviet Union culture. Also, dictator Enver Hoxha, he finished the school in France, and he was positive about French culture, and the school was strong, and we learn about not just math and geography, but everything about the what a kid has to have.
Okay.
And the education was one part of the communism. Everybody has to go to school. Nobody can miss the school till 14 years. And this one affect our country to have no analphabetism.
Do you remember what you learned about the United States when you were in school? Did they
always we got negative opinion, and for this reason, we learn about the.
Why don't we take a break here, and we'll come back in a minute and continue this interesting story. You're listening to Stories of New Americans on 101.9, 94.1, News Talk STL.
Stories of New Americans.
Brought to you in part by Samim Afghan Restaurant, featuring traditional Afghan cuisine and conveniently located on Manchester Road in the Grove.
Stories of New Americans.
Brought to you by Hacking Law, for individuals who want to come and stay in the U.S. Hacking Law fights for immigrants every day. Visit them at hackingimmigrationlaw.com.
This is Stories of New Americans on News Talk STL.
Welcome back. We're talking with Miranda Gace from Albania, and you were saying that I asked how students were taught in school about the United States, and you said it was kind of negative.
Yeah, it was negative opinion, like America is the bad thing at the top of the all people. America, it was commanding anything around the world.
And do you remember when Hoxha was allied with China, how did they describe the Soviet Union at that time? Was that negative also?
Yes, it was the conference when he went there, and they destroyed their relationship between two countries, and also it was a fight about the one zone. Dictator gave it to Russia. It was Sazan, is an island in north in south of Albania, and was a army based over there from Russia, and was a huge conflict for that. And the conflict, it was like Russian is abandoned communism idea. For this reason, they get disconnected.
Okay, so they thought China was more
communist.
Pure. Okay, all right. Let's talk about your career. After you finished school, what type of profession did you have in Albania? Now, how did that all happen?
I finished University of Tirana for literature and language.
Were you free to choose the topic you wanted to study in college, or were they pressuring you to study certain things?
Yes, we have to write three choices, and the commission on the top can give you each one you can get.
Oh.
And after I finished for linguistic and literature, I worked at a foreign language high school.
Mm.
It was good experience for me. I worked there for around 7 years.
As a teacher?
As a teacher in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
I was teacher of linguistic, Albanian language, and also for literature. It was mixed, international and national.
Literature.
By this time, I began to be talk show person in TV.
TV talk show.
Yeah, it was just one channel, national channel.
You were a national journalist.
I began to be like just representing this program.
Okay.
One was for schools, and the name of the program I remember was School and Life.
So you interviewed educators?
Teachers, educators, yes.
Wow.
And it was in studio, in front of cameras. It was good experience for me. I feel I'm empty without that part. And also I had a program for kids, the same talk show. It was about books and stuff like that.
Were you allowed to do what you wanted to do, or were you told?
No, everything was with scenario. The kids were invited from somebody, and you have to speak in the limit of the space they give it to you.
You had to make sure you kind of towed the party line, too, I guess.
Of course.
Okay.
And I collaborate with TV. State TV for 6 years because I began to be very busy with my kids who are grown up. They need more attention.
Yeah.
And I just kept the school too.
Now, how and when and why did you come to the United States then?
I would like to underline another part of my life to Albania.
Okay.
In 1991, one group from Washington, D.C., of United States, from International Democratic Institute, came to Albania to promote the democracy.
Mm.
And it was February 1991 when we were all together. They invite teachers, engineers. It was a group around 25 or 30 people, because the number of the signature they need to create a society.
Mm.
And I was in that meeting because I was involved in democratic movement. And we signed for creating society for democratic culture.
Now, this was still under communism, right?
No. It was, the communism was very weak.
Okay.
This one is before, let's say, 6 months of when the communism collapsed.
Wow.
And after this society was created, of course, the specialist politician from Washington, D.C., from this institute, each one, when I worked with them, had 60 states they support for democracy, new democracy.
60 countries?
60 countries, yes. And one of these countries was Albania.
Mm.
And they picked me to work like press secretary for society.
Oh.
And, you know, they told me to write a press release. I don't know what it was that. And also they named the Society for Democratic Culture. And the goal was free election. We didn't know these words too, because we came from communism.
Wow.
And they brought specialists. Most of them spoke French and Italian, some of them. And I began to work with them because they picked me. I had good connection with media.
Mm.
And I was able to publish information to State TV, the only one was in that time.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I worked with Kohayon, was a new newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
Republika was another newspaper. And in that way, I began to publish the activity of Society for Democratic Culture. Mm-hmm. And after a year I did the job, three years I did this press secretary. I came here in United States, in Washington D.C. 1994, first time visiting United States.
Oh.
It was like I was surprised in any steps I walked in United States. And I participate, always supported by this National Democratic Institute, for leadership. And when I was back, I took the position in this society, executive director, for 8 years. This was enthusiastic work we did to support the democracy. And we went in different cities. Any location in Albania to involve people in our activity to work for free elections. And this was a wonderful job. A lot of students were involved in this activity.
Yeah, you really started something and it just grew from there.
Yes.
And then did that lead you to eventually relocating to the United States?
This kind of job I did, because it was my job. I didn't work anymore in school.
Yeah.
Create conflict between me and government.
Oh.
Because I declare about manipulation in 1996 of election, for election. In 1992, we support the Democratic Party. But when in 1996, manipulation was part of the activity of Democratic Party, I had my courage to speak about the irregulation in the voting process, and this was open conflict between me and the president in this time of Albania, and my life was not pretty sure there. And I came here like political asylum.
Oh, what year was that?
It was in 2000.
And did you come directly to St. Louis then?
Yes. I came directly to St. Louis. And because I have two daughters here. One, she attended the school. The other one was married with an American citizen guy, but Albanian.
Okay.
Albanian-American.
They were already here?
Yes.
Okay. Here. Did you speak English when you came?
Yes.
Okay.
But I have more in the political field than everyday life. But being in touch with friends in my neighborhood, and also I began to work right away when I came.
Mm-hmm.
I worked in a hotel, hostess.
Mm-hmm.
I worked cashier too for years, and also politics is part of my
personality.
Yes, and I worked for in the time when for first election of Obamacare. I was involved in this period too.
What was your what were your first days like here? Did you feel welcome, or did you feel any type of like what were some of the cultural differences you noticed when you came?
When I came, I was not eligible to work because I had to go through the process to legalize my residency.
Right.
For this reason, friends of mine who still worked in Democratic Institute, and they were in touch with me all the time.
Okay.
I would like to mention two of them, Alicia Allison and Jonas Rolette. They called me and they said, Miranda, don't stay home all the time. Go to the public library. And it's close to Hampton Library. I went there and I attended some English classes just to be in touch with. And you know, Ron, I learned how to write first check in this class. Because in Albania, we had no checks.
Yeah.
Just cash money.
Wow.
And I learned how to write a check in this class. That means whenever you go, if you like to learn something, you'll find something.
Right. Yeah.
And after that, when I got employment authorization, I began to work in Adams Mark Hotel.
Okay. What kind of work did you do there?
Hostess.
Okay, that was a hostess job. And then what are you doing now? Talk about your profession now.
Now I'm caseworker, and I'm working most for Albanian community.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so happy. I love this job because I can help them.
Yeah.
But also I work for other people who needs my help. For example, last week I found a lady from Argentina. She had 20 years being here with permanent residence, no citizen. Also, I found an Italian lady, 52 years with permanent resident card, no citizenship. I worked like interpreter, social worker.
How large is the Albanian community in St. Louis now, would you say?
I think it's more than 10,000. Used to be smaller, but is growing every day, not just because they get married, they have kids, but reunion of family, like parents.
Family reunification, yeah.
Make this number to grown up. But yeah. Still, it's the smallest community in St. Louis.
Okay. This time has gone so fast. I wish we had more time to talk, but it looks like we're just about out of time. But I like to ask people at the end if they have some type of a message for our audience. You came as an immigrant, a political refugee to this country as an adult, and you probably noticed and do notice things about America that we might not notice ourselves. What are your thoughts about living in America, or any message you might have for our audience?
When I forgot to add this one, I attend 1 year class in community college, and the teacher of English language told us to write a composition. And I wrote, I feel like Robinson Crusoe. From Albania, I came to United States. And everything was kind new for me. But little by little, finding job, finding friend, finding support, you feel more comfortable. And one day I was in front of Arch, because I worked at Adams Mark Hotel, and I thought, oh, I'm very connected with this arch. When arch is bright, I feel happy. When arch is gray, I feel like down. And I'm very connected with this country, because if you work hard and you dig to find something, you'll find it. And it's a big opportunity to have chance to live to America.
Yeah, I think.
Just don't give up.
Don't give
work
up.
Work hard.
Yeah, it's not easy, but you can do it if
beginning
you work hard.
Beginning is not easy.
Yeah.
And the beginning is very stressful. It's language barrier. is you don't drive in your country. You have to learn how to drive, get a driver license. You don't know how to use the credit card. Now the chain is different, but 23 years ago, it was like I'm saying.
Yeah.
And after this, everybody in America has open heart and open mind to immigrants. I never felt like they abandoned me or they were prejudiced about me. Not at all.
That's great to hear. Okay. Well, on that happy note, I think we're going to have to put an end to this interesting interview, although I wish I had more time, but the clock is our boss here. So thank you again for coming.
Thank you for this chance.
Thank you for sharing your story. And I'm glad that you feel comfortable here.
My family, too.
That's great. Okay.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening tonight. We've been talking to Miranda Gace from Albania. This is News Talk STL 101.9 94.1. Thank you.